Okay.
Go.
This is an interview with Michael Finney for the Ohio Education Association Union History Project, done by Heidi Scott at YSU in Cushwa Hall with Media Services on February 2nd, 2005, at approximately 1:15 p.m. Before we discuss your involvement with the union, I'd like to get some background information. So first, could you tell me where and when were you born?
I was born in Anderson, Indiana on May 26, 1940.
Could you tell me something about your childhood?
It was impoverished. I was born just before World War II, and after the war, when there was very, very little housing, we lived either in boarding houses or were boarded out until we moved to California in 1950.
And
my parents were both factory workers at that time, although my father later went to law school, and then moving to California was the most positive experience of my childhood because it was like we literally moved from the slums of Indianapolis to a nice suburban neighborhood in Southern California, from a school that was surrounded by chain link fence to a school where all of the doors opened out onto the playground. And things went better from then on.
And how did you end up in Ohio?
After I got my PhD at Iowa, after I got my BA at Stanford, I taught in Boston for a few years, and then I taught in South Carolina for a year, and then my then wife got a job at Kent State, so we moved up here, and that's how I ended up in this area.
What did your parents do for a living?
Okay, my father was a stock chaser at Guide Lamp, which is a subsidiary of General Motors, and he was also a union rep at that time. My mother worked at Guide Lamp first, then later she worked at RCA, and later she worked in Indianapolis, making the first television sets that came on the market, and then later moved to, when we moved to California, she worked for Douglas Aircraft for about 30 years.
Interesting. Could you tell me about your family? Do you have children?
I have one son.
Any more if you want to tell me.
Oh, I have one son, Sean, who's 31.
So. Could you describe your educational background for me?
Yes, sure. I don't know where you want me to start, but with elementary school in Indiana was in urban Indianapolis was not a particularly pleasant experience. Although moving out to California, where progressive education was still in full force, at least in the Long Beach School District, then it was like night and day. I went through that persisted through high school, which was, it was a very student-oriented, liberal kind of education. Then I got my BA from Stanford, and then I got a fellowship to Iowa, where I studied literature and linguistics, and then I taught after that.
Prior to YSU, what work experience did you have?
I taught at Northeastern in Boston. Well, I taught as a GA at Iowa, and then I taught at Northeastern in Boston for 3 years. Then I taught at UMass Boston for a year, and then taught at the University of South Carolina at Aiken for a year before coming here.
And when did you come to YSU?
I came here in the fall of 1976. That year I taught part-time. The next 2 years I had temporary 1 year assistant professor contracts or instructor contracts, and then I was hired permanently in 1980.
Permanently as?
A tenure track position.
Okay. And is that the same position you've held this entire time?
No, I've gotten promoted.
Okay, well, understandably so. Okay, now moving on to your involvement with the union. First, why do you think unions are important for higher education?
Okay. There are two ways to govern in higher education. One is through a powerful faculty senate, and the other is through a union. Those places that do not have a powerful faculty senate, or where the senate is a mixture of administrators and faculty, need a union to protect faculty rights. That's very common in state schools, where the senate does not have the power that a union would have. Either way works, it just depends on the college.
Now, were you a part of the faculty union organizing at YSU?
No, it was organized in 70 or 71, in the early 70s, and I didn't come until 1976.
So have you been, when did you become involved in the union?
I didn't become actively involved in the union until about 5 years ago. When I served as chair of the grievance committee, served on the grievance committee and then served as chair, and then served as first vice president while Bob Hogue was president, and then now as president.
Could you tell me a little bit about your activities as chair of the grievance committee?
Oh, goodness. Well, I can tell you all kinds of horrible things, but probably would not be appropriate. Actually, let me say this about the grievance committee. You know, one conception of the union is that the sole purpose of the union is to negotiate a contract, and that the union doesn't do anything else besides that. But in fact, problems rise almost daily in matters that impact the agreement, or that where there are questions about how it applies. And So those, when the administration and the association can't agree, end up in the grievance committee. And so the grievance officer is very busy. Sometimes it's just a matter of talking to administrators and talking to faculty members and working out some kind of solution to a problem. And other times it involves the filing of formal grievances. When I became grievance chair, there were, I think, like 20-odd grievances in various stages. And they had a new director of faculty relations who was much more receptive to discussion and negotiation. So we resolved almost all of those in a very, very short time. And increasingly, the pattern has been that we solve problems before we file grievances through negotiation, but there are still occasionally problems which do, and I'm not the grievance chair anymore, but the grievance chair is still plenty busy.
When did you serve that position?
Oh, I don't have the dates at the tip of my finger. Let's see, I've been president last year and this year. I was first vice president the year before, so it must have been the year before that.
So then within the last 5 or 6 years, like you said. Okay. But currently you are the president.
Yes.
Could you describe that position for me?
It's actually very complicated. I meet weekly with the director of faculty relations to determine if there's anything we need to talk about. I brief the chief negotiator and the chair of the negotiating team and the grievance chair about anything that comes up at that meeting. Whenever there's a problem, I talk to the director of faculty relations. I go to lots of meetings. We have a standing executive committee meeting once a month. And I preside over that. Right now, we're in negotiations, and as president, I serve on the negotiating team, I'm responsible for all the correspondence and representing the association to OEA and to NEA. So that's at least a partial list.
Partial list. Now, it seems the union keeps you very busy, and my understanding is these are all unpaid positions.
That is not entirely correct. That's what I thought too, and I didn't find out otherwise until after I was president. But YSU OEA does provide a small stipend for the president of, I think, $2,500 a year. I put most of that back into, you know, student activities and union activities.
So why would you say you're this active in the union?
You want the truth.
I do.
Okay. it is hard to get people to serve in the union. And and I had been fairly actively involved in discussions with previous leaderships about what was going on our listserv. When Bob Hogue took over as president from John Russo, Bob asked me if I would serve as first vice president, and I said, well, since I've been mouthing off, I think I have an obligation to. And so I did, and then when Bob's term ended, he persuaded me that it was my moral obligation to run for president and nobody else would. So
you got bullied into it.
I got persuaded.
Negotiations, the ones you've been involved in, have they gone smoothly?
I have not been involved in any negotiations until this year.
Okay.
Directly.
So this will be the first year with the upcoming contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you have not been involved in any strikes or anything either.
Well, you mean in the entire history of my life? Or here?
For here, if you
Well,
to
there
tell
was a strike in
others.
1980. I think it was around 1980. I can't remember when the strike was. There was a strike when Neil Humphrey was president. It only lasted one day, and of course I was out there on the picket line screaming at administrators trying to drive their fancy cars in. I remember strikes as a lot of fun when I was a kid, because Douglas went on strike two or three times, and going down to strike headquarters and getting haircuts and eating hot dogs and chili on the strike line. Seemed like a kind of picnic to me, but.
So you have fond memories of strikes.
I have fond memories of strikes. And if we have a strike, I'm sure that it will be a wonderfully civil and strike from which we can also have fond memories.
And eat hot dogs.
And eat hot dogs and chili. I think they also drank whiskey out of pint bottles they kept in their pockets, but I don't have any firsthand information about that.
Why do you think there's a need for three, now there's four unions on campus, but three separate unions all involved with the OEA?
Okay. I think part of the answer to that is that OEA is the majority, the very large majority of units in OEA are high school units. And in high school, as well as here, there's a clear demarcation between faculty and non-faculty. Our interests are, in fact, not always identical. And it would be very, very difficult, I think, to negotiate a single contract covering all of those positions. And that's in both secondary mm-hmm. units and, I mean, elementary and secondary and college units. Why there is a difference between professional APUS and ACE here, I don't know where that distinction comes from. And I don't know whether they consider it important or not. First of all, faculty are salaried employees and not hourly employees. We don't punch time clocks. Our workloads are very, very complicated because they include personal research, most of us spend a great deal of time while we're at home doing research and preparing for classes, so that it's just an entirely different kind of work structure than a situation where somebody is on an hourly wage or even somebody on a salary who basically is a 9-to-5 person.
You mentioned how OEA, most of the union units in it, excuse me, are for elementary or secondary. How does higher education fit within that?
Okay. There is a part of NEA, a subsidiary organization or organization with, called the Higher Education Action Council or Committee. And it deals solely with higher education problems. And we send representatives to that meeting, as well as to the National Education Association Representative Assembly. For our purposes, the work with HEAC is probably more important than the work with OEA or NEA Representative Assembly. But in my experience, and I don't know that this has always been everybody's experience, but in my experience, the OEA and the NEA have bent over backwards to be of service if we ask for something. Recent example is, you may be aware of Senate Bill 24, the so-called Student Bill of Rights, which is really a disguised attempt to introduce censorship into the college curriculum. It's a bill that is not easy to read because it sounds as if it is trying to preserve somebody's rights in the beginning, whereas in fact it is attempting to take them away. When I called the OEA General Office, they immediately responded had already planned to announce their opposition to the bill and to send their lobbyists in as soon as the bill was sent to committee. So they are sensitive to higher education needs and to, you know, even though we are a very small minority of their thing, I think we get a fair treatment.
They do their best to accommodate.
Yeah, if they do.
The other unions, ACE and the Professional Union, they formed later. Did you have any involvement in there?
No, I didn't.
When it comes to bargaining, do the unions act collectively or separately?
Both. It changes from bargaining year to bargaining year. This year, the negotiating team and the chief negotiator and I have made a commitment on certain issues to keep the other two unions fully informed. We're a little bit ahead on the calendar in negotiating, and made it quite clear that there are certain issues we will not negotiate separately from them. Now that doesn't mean a binding commitment if we come down to, you know, some details in terms of the final contract. We work, I've been trying to work very, very closely with the other unions, and our chief negotiator, Stan Gazelle, has too this year. I anticipate, you know, perhaps greater cooperation this year than there has been in the past.
What are some of those issues that you want to work together on?
I think I can't answer that question because we have a blackout on the details of negotiating information until we have a contract.
Fair enough. Could you discuss the current state of the faculty union?
Sure. One of the reasons that I was willing to take this over was because we are in a real transition stage. We're having a number of retirements this year. We'll have a large number of retirements this year and over the next 2 years. Most of the old farts like me will be gone. we really need to have younger people involved in the union. And by younger, I don't mean young, but I mean people in their 40s and 50s who, you know, came in the middle 80s. And I have worked very hard to try to involve faculty in the union process that haven't been involved in it before, in the hopes that, you know, we will recreate interest in serving in the union leadership. As for the membership at large, they're perfectly happy to, you know, to have us negotiate for them and do grievances for them. But quite frankly, the majority of the faculty are much more interested in their own research and things like that than in the details of the union. So I consider my last year and a half to have been a sort of major recruiting effort. I don't know how successful it has been. I won't know until the elections next month.
What do you consider to be the faculty union's greatest achievement for the YSU employees?
I can't list just one. The union has certainly kept us not at the highest salary level among universities, but has worked very hard to and succeeded in large part in keeping YSU at least in the middle of the range of Ohio State colleges, excluding Ohio State. We have a remarkably good health care coverage, and the union is, I think, in large part responsible for maintaining that. Some past achievements, we have, I think, the strongest intellectual property rights article in our contract in the country. So those are some of the small achievements. But in general, at state universities, especially state universities in the middle range of state universities, administrations tend to bully faculty members, and I think the union has done a remarkable job of preventing that.
Do you see administration and the faculty union working together, or is it more fighting and butting heads?
Well, it depends upon the administration and the administrators. And the current administration has been pretty cooperative and shown a real interest in resolving problems without going through formal grievance processes or without, you know, and they have been open in terms of asking for input to things like position searches for senior academic administrators and things like that. There are administrators who I consider to be not cooperative with the union, and I don't think it would probably be appropriate for me to name them, although I'd probably delight in doing so. And there are others that are quite cooperative. This administration, compared to the previous administration, the Cochran administration started out cooperative and then got increasingly less cooperative as time went on, so that by the end of the Cochran administration, the union and the administration were not really on speaking terms.
It goes in spells.
It goes in spells, and it depends very much on the people involved, and the people involved on both sides.
Couple last questions. How is the faculty union protecting the YSU faculty today?
You mean this very day? You want to know what I did today?
Well.
I would have to get into specifics to answer that, and maybe this is a good way to answer it. What I did today was to ensure that a faculty member on a temporary contract whose contract will be renewed, in fact, was permitted to vote in a department chair election. Now, that may seem trivial, but you multiply that kind of thing by 10 or 12 times a week, and that's what we do. You know, somebody, we have another question about how long the health care insurance extends into the summer for people whose contracts are not going to be renewed. And we had a discussion about that today. And again, that's something that's relatively small and may seem like as if, you know, well, why would we even be concerned ourselves about people who aren't going to be here? But they're members of the bargaining unit, and we serve their interests as long as we can. So most of the stuff that I do and that I think the union does is relatively small stuff like that. You know, like I said, 10 or 12 of those a week take up a chunk of time.
But that seems to be, that's, you can't overlook that. That's the real important stuff too. You have, so you have your larger negotiations for the contract, but then you have daily responsibilities to the members as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Overall, how would you rate the success of the union?
Overall, I think it has been very successful. I think it has been pretty consistently successful over the years, although there have certainly been ups and downs in terms of relationship of the union, both the administration and to the members of the bargaining unit.
During your presidency, what would you like to accomplish for the union?
What I set out to do was, I was going to say four things, but I don't think I can remember the fourth. One of the things I wanted to do was to open up communication between the leadership and the membership. And I think I've been pretty successful in doing that. The other thing I wanted to do was increase our activity with the organizations with which we are affiliated. That is OEA, NEA, and Higher Education Action Committee. I've been moderately successful in that. Third thing that I wanted to do was to improve relationships with the administration. And I think I've been very successful in doing that. So,
especially since you said it with the previous administration, it was stressed.
Well, it had reached a bad point.
Okay, well, that's the end of my questions. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Can't think of anything.
Okay, well then, thank you very much for your time. And
thank
this
you.
Concludes the interview.